Hi, Tony. It's Ann Hogan. I read your article today, Critical Thinking Skills, and I've been giving it some thought and have a couple of remarks to make, I suppose. And the first one is I wanted to point out that I have probably been using critical thinking skills longer than most of the people in our classroom, since I'm probably twice as old as most of them as well, so it would make sense. I was first introduced to the concept of both the critical thinking skills and the problem-solving method that we use when I was quite young, because I learned that I processed information visually much better than I processed information by a auditory means. I mean, it's literally one in one ear, out the other with me. So I've always been really comfortable with writing things down and looking them over. And in fact, I even have a tablet at home that says pros on one side and cons on the other. And I use that when I'm trying to make a decision of any magnitude. Kind of funny, but it just really helps just to see what your options are. And it's the same with physics and critical thinking applied to physics. There's a great word that I like to use, it's disambiguate. And whenever I think of disambiguating, I always think of physics, because it removes ambiguity from life, really, is what it does. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, too, is that when I was younger, probably my first physics class 20, 25 years ago, I hate to say, we called the process strategy mapping, or even flow charting, because we thought computers were so new and cool back then. But it's words that they all mean the same thing. They're all getting down to the same thing of writing it out, you know, showing your steps, showing your work, and it just seems like it's been working for a long time for a lot of different facets of my life. The other thing that I wanted to mention, which I think is kind of, kind of a comment on our society anyway, I have a son who's 14, and I've been trying to teach him the problem-solving methods, mostly when it pertains to his math problems. He likes to do everything in his head and not write anything down, and what he does write down is so sloppy that you can't even read it. So I sit down with him and I explain to him the importance of being able to go through the steps, actually understanding what you're doing, and just it's really difficult for kids his age. I guess he's 14, and they're so used to video games and instant gratification, that sort of thing, that they just don't have the patience, you know. And he's just very, very resistant when it comes to taking any amount of time. And I remember back when I was his age, we had to do even more steps than we're doing now in physics. I mean, it was just a really long, you know, really laborious process. But, you know, we had to learn how to do it, because when things do get more confusing, you can't do it all in your head. So you might as well learn how to do it step by step from the beginning. Math builds on previously learned information and, you know, previously learned concepts, and you just have to build on that. And that's what I tell him. So, I guess I could say he's, second generation, third generation critical thinking person? And I hope that he does get this under his belt, and I want you to know that when I'm not doing my physics problems, I'm doing math problems with him and trying to teach him the Tony way. So, I think that's all that I have to say about this topic. So, see you tomorrow. Bye.